says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." By way of introduction, I just want to mention the words themselves. You see the word pure there in that verse, and that is a word that was used to compare clean clothes with ones that were not clean. Now, you ladies, when you're washing, you know about that. If some of your folk come in with been playing sport and they're all mucked up, and then you've got ones that are sitting ready for ironing, you know the difference. And that is a word that was used to describe that, but also to describe unblemished grain in a farm situation there, an agricultural situation, where that would be the very best grain. It was also used to describe unalloyed silver, the very best silver that would be available. So when we see here the word pure, it is referring to or blessed or the happinesses of those whose thoughts and motives are unmixed. Because that's what it means, really. That is the meaning of the word, and in the context it is the meaning of the Beatitude. Now it says at the end, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know where the Bible says no man can see God and live. And we do not physically see God. But this is what Jesus said to the people. And he said it because it would strike a chord with them. In their day, when the Lord Jesus was walking here on the earth, one of the highest honors and privileges for a servant in any establishment or big house, whatever you want to call it, or palace, it would have been a palace actually, would have had been having the right to stand in the presence of the king. That was counted as one of the highest honors. In fact, if you look in 2 Kings in your own time, in verse chapter 25 and verse 19, it refers there to men of the king's presence. Men of the king's presence. Also, references made in 2 Kings to those who were closely working with the Queen of Sheba. And it is referring simply to people like you and me having intimate fellowship with the Lord. Men and women of the Lord's presence. So it's really saying to us, blessed or happy are the pure in heart, or those who don't have unmixed motives. They shall enjoy intimate fellowship with the Lord. And of course, you and I would want that. All of us would want that for each other, that we would all enjoy that happiness and that true fellowship with the Lord. So the title this morning is, and I have got several thoughts, I might not get through them, but I don't want to keep you late, so I will move quite swiftly. The title is A Pure Heart Analysis. A Pure Heart Analysis, because we said that the word pure there referred to unmixed motives. So we're really looking at what would my heart be like if I have a pure heart. We know that we're saved and washed in the blood of Christ and we're justified. But this is to do with our walk and our living for the Lord. I want to say first of all regarding a pure heart, that a pure heart will be an earnest heart. Earnestness in the family or in God's work is very, very important. Over there in the Psalm number 32, the psalmist said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." And where it says there no guile, it's the reference really is to someone being earnest, someone not being unearnest, if I can put it that way. Or being sincere might be another word to describe it. Now, the heart is the seat of affection in the Bible. And it's so important that our heart in God's work is earnest. Over in Jeremiah chapter 12, it says there in verse 1, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, They have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. And then it says, thou art near in their mouth, but far from their reins. You might ask the question, what does it mean, far from their reins? Well, years ago, in Jewish psychology, the reins here were referred to as the guiding principle within. And the Jeremiah here is saying, Lord, they talk about you, but as far as the guiding principle is concerned, you're not really brought into the equation. Of course, he was referring to those who were mentioned in the previous verse 1. But brethren, Jeremiah knew and the psalmist knew, and you and I know too, the importance of this earnestness. And as we come out of this pandemic, we're asking all of our hearts, and I'm asking me especially, and maybe as a minister I'm more susceptible to not be than anybody else. We need to be earnest. We need to be sincere. Over in the book of Jude and in verse 3, there's an exhortation there. It simply says, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. And the word earnestly there, again, it means to with great fervor. And it carries the meaning of being stretched out to the limit. Being at our best. Being at our best for the Lord. Having that earnest heart to do what we can for the Lord. And it's really speaking of a heart that is sincere. And there was a way used by potters in long ago in the Greek speaking world, and it was, there's a word connected to earnestness that means to be judged in the sunlight. Means connected to earnestness, and it also means sincere, or is translated nowadays sincere. But it went like this: if someone had pottery and they broke a little bit off a nice pot that they were trying to sell, and they could fix that again with wax, and you could work at it in such a way that it would never be noticeable. Never be noticeable. But when people went to buy these pieces of pottery, one of the things that they often did, they lifted the pottery up and they held it up towards the sun. Because when they did that, if there was any flaw in it, it showed up. And it was, there was the Latin word sine cire, which means without wax. In other words, the sincerity of the pot was scrutinized, and my sincerity and your sincerity or earnestness will be judged in the light, because all things are open before the Lord and will be scrutinized by the world too. So we're looking here at the analysis of a pure heart or a non-mixed heart. There will be that earnestness there, and I'm moving on here, but there will also be a longing heart. You'll understand here, if I'm not turning to all the references, there is Psalm 119 and verse 2, where the psalmist talks there about seeking after the Lord. So many other things he could have sought after. Folks, there's so many other things you can seek after. Some of them are very legitimate. But at the top of his priority list, he was seeking the Lord himself. Apostle Paul wrote so many books of the Bible, and after over a quarter of a century at the very forefront of the Lord's battles, he said that I might know him. He felt that he didn't. And he had that longing in his heart for more of the Lord. You know that the apostle didn't ask for fame. He didn't even ask people to like him. But he asked that he might know the Lord as he would walk with the Lord. And a pure heart, a man or woman with unmixed motives, a Christian, has got to be longing after the Lord. Got to have a longing heart. We're bound to have that. And I was thinking just during the week, I was speaking to another colleague in the ministry, and he said that our forefathers and foremothers, they risked life and limb to come along to meet at church, come along to fellowship out in the woods together, come along to worship the Lord together. And when they did that, so that we might have what we now enjoy, should I not be longing after the Lord? Should not be have that longing heart after the Lord? And I trust again that the Lord will give to all of us a longing heart that will not be content, folks, will not be content just to get by, because that's not enjoying the Lord. The psalmist in the Psalm 119, when they said they would seek after the Lord, they wanted all the blessing that he can bring, and the joy that he can bring, and the company that he can bring, and the opportunity that he can bring as well. And there are people today on our mission fields, and they have a longing heart. They're knowing the Lord's presence, but they're longing more and more. I read the story of a missionary one time. I'm sorry his name has escaped me, but he had been out in the field for a long time. And whenever he retired from the field, he was one of those ones, many didn't of course, but he lived long enough to retire. And he came home and he was questioned about it and talking to someone. And it had been a very, very hard station. He said, give me all the hardship. Give me all the danger. Give me all the disappointment. Give me all the misunderstanding. Give me all the rejection. Give me even the arrows flying about my head. And I will still be your man. I will still be your man. I would do it again, all again, for the Lord. Now that's a longing heart. That's a longing heart. Sometimes I ask myself, how much does it take to keep me away from longing after the Lord and seeking, having that pursuing or that longing heart? So an unmixed heart or a pure heart is a longing heart. But if I can move just a little bit further, I want you to also notice here that it is a heart that is perceptive or able to recognize things. And in being a perceptive heart, it will be a heart that wants to do the right thing. If you would turn, please, I think you should turn to this one. The Psalm 119 and verse 104. It says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And so we should hate every false way. And also there in the verse 113 of that psalm, it says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Here's the psalmist saying, I want to have unmixed motives when it comes to reading a situation or perception. And really this boils down to the fact that a heart that is a pure heart will not want to walk into sin. They will not want to walk into sin. Over in Proverbs and chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 7, it says there, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and every evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And you and I, brethren and sisters, you and I need to have that perceptive heart so that we don't, folks. Whatever age we are and wherever God has placed us in work or whatever, so that we do not walk into sin. That we have perception, because make no mistake, as we are all aware, the devil will have snares for you. Knowing everybody's individual weakness, snares where you can be completely tripped up. God hates sin. Should you and I not hate it as well? And we know what it can do to people's lives. We know how it can affect God's work as well. And we want to be those who have. I'm going to read one more verse from Psalm 119. You needn't worry about turning it up. You don't want. Psalm 119, verse 145 says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. If you read Psalm 119 in your own time there, you will see here is someone who wanted to have a perceptive heart. Heartbreaking. And sometimes you can try and encourage your friend or your family, whatever it is, but there's a line that you can't step over because you can't be intrusive. But it is heartbreaking when you see a believer walking headlong into sin and you can't do anything. And brothers and sisters, If we have that heart that's pure, a heart of unmixed motives, we will have a perceptive heart. We will have a perceptive heart. But that brings me right almost irresistibly onto the next point. A pure heart will be a turning away heart. Because over there, and I'm just going to mention this and what I'm saying, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, to abstain from all appearance of evil. And the word appearance there, it means all open display of evil. Now in the world today, it's displayed around every corner. It's displayed around every corner. But there's not only to be the perception and knowing what it is, but there's to be the actual taking of action to turn away from it. Because it means here to abstain from all appearance of evil. It means to turn away from all display of evil or all open showing of sin. And that's not an easy thing always in a world that is very, very sinful. And one of the gentlemen here I was talking to this morning, unfortunately, in the world today, many people lay an emphasis on doing what is popular, not what is principled, but what is popular. And the world loves that. And you just get on with mind your own business to anyone who says anything about it, preachers or otherwise, and just get on with it. But we want to pray for our young people and for our children in school and for those that are not in school yet. Now's the time to start praying for them, that they will be able to turn away, that they'll have a turning away heart. You can think in the Bible, like David was a man after God's own heart. Sometimes he had tremendous insight and really good spiritual perception. But what a mess he made of things because he didn't turn away. He didn't put what he knew to be right. He didn't put it into action. And we know the consequences there for him and for his family and for another family as well. He should have turned away. And sin, and I'm dwelling a wee bit upon this point, consciously meddling in sin is something which troubles believers. It has to trouble us because we're saved, and it makes us miserable and maybe sensitive, or can you use the word short, if anybody said anything to us? And I know one man who was all of that, and he went into a shop some years ago, and he gave the man in the shop, shop had changed hands from he was a boy, but he went into the shop and he said, I can't remember the exact time, but it was 20-something years ago. He said, I stole a whistle out of the shop. And he says, I'm giving you that £20 now because it has eaten me up ever since. And the man said, no, don't be silly. It was just a little boy and I didn't even own the shop. He says, don't care. He said, I need to do it. I shouldn't have done it. I stole a whistle and it has troubled me ever since. And he said, I want to give you this so that I can get some kind of closure on it because it's troubling. That's a good way to live. There's a man who knew what was right and wrong, and he wanted as best he could to try and make it right. I want to move on again here regarding this pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I could say all those things which may think, well, that's all well and good, but they would all, while they would be very important, they would be somewhat incomplete if I didn't mention that a pure heart is a doing heart. Acknowledged Alistair there. Sorry about the embarrassment, Alistair. But he did what needed to be done regarding, he just did it for years and years. And when it was real messy and unpredictable, and sometimes you were cold, and sometimes he just couldn't get it sorted out. He did it now because it needed to be done. You see, a pure heart is a doing heart. Many of you do what you can. You do what you can. Some pray at home. Others pray here in church. People are involved in various aspects, bringing children to the meetings, doing things with children in the meetings, involved in other meetings. But a Christian who has all the things that I've mentioned there earlier will want to be a doing heart because your heart will be stirred. The Lord will come along and stir your heart to do something for the Lord. And I trust again that the Lord will give to all of us, that he will give to all of us really what is a practical heart. Someone put it this way, they said that we should not be so heavenly minded to be no earthly good. And it's a good testimony for a Christian, of course, to be a doing person. But in God's work, there's always stuff to do. And we do appreciate all the help we get. And we say to you today, if you want to be maybe thinking of helping in the children's meeting in the summer, the Bible club or anything like that, sitting there among the boys and girls, you can talk to us near the town. And certainly we get you something to do. Lots of other things to do as well. And from time to time, there are other positions that we need filled as well. And you're able to do that. I repeat what I said about before here one time. I think I said it anyway. About D.L. Moody, who was preaching. And he wasn't grammatically correct. He never was. And some man came up to him afterwards and commented about the message that he preached. And he says, "But I noted 11 grammatical errors in what you said, Mr. Moody." Mr. Moody wasn't really that happy when he said that to him. And he said, "Well," he said, "I'm surprised it wasn't far more." He says, "But what about you? What are you? I'm doing and using what I have for the Lord. What about you?" The man didn't know what to say. He knew about the grammar, but I don't think the Lord's too bothered about grammar. And folks, you may feel, well, I don't have much to offer. Of course you do. Of course you do have something. People here in Agalee Church have been always very civil people. And everybody will help you and try and encourage you in the work. So please do not rule out getting involved and actually being involved in something practical in the church. Another thought here, a pure heart, or the pure in heart, will be a progressing heart. Referring here to sanctification and that ongoing work that there is. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting or maturing holiness in the fear of God." And you know, the Bible has a big part to play in that. So we need to read it at home. We need to come and listen to it as often as we can and ask the Lord to use it to our hearts. The Shorter Catechism asks the question, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more. See, that's important. For me, again, as much as anybody, and for you, are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. This is not being judgmental of myself or anybody else, but when we look back a few years, we should be more, we wouldn't be more saved now, but we should be more matured now than we were 5 years ago. You see, we're enabled to die more and more unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Someone put a wee poster up here one time. I think they did anyway. I've seen it recently, or fairly recently somewhere. It was Robert Murray McShane said, "It is not great talents that God bless us so much as great likeness to Jesus." That's what we're aiming for. Great likeness to Jesus, a progressing heart. Been a difficult 2 years, folks. Maybe you've become a bit downcast or discouraged. And certainly it's been hard just to know, for us, just keeping everything going and knowing what to do and what not to do. And everybody has worked well. And the session committee have worked very well and unitedly on it. And we're here where we are now. As I said, we're not out of the restrictions yet, but we're in a different situation. And now is a time when we want to ask the Lord to continue to sanctify us more and more unto himself. Help us to be like Jesus. It says actually in that Sermon on the Mount, as you're aware, in the verse 16 of Matthew 5, to let your light so shine before men. That comes after all the things here. Blessed are the pure in heart, and they which are persecuted, in other words, willing to stand for the Lord. Blessed are the peacemakers, and when men revile you. It says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. You see, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing in the previous verses. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One final thought on it is this. And it is completely fundamental and inescapable. A pure heart is a praying heart. It's a praying heart. I want to thank you again for all your prayers during these 2 years and for your continued prayers here during the week and at home as well. And now we're glad to be able to open up our meetings here before the church services. And it's all so important for every one of us that we would have that praying heart and that we would be those who seek the Lord earnestly for better days. We need them. We need to see the Lord move in power and see situations changed. and see the whole country turned around. And we can do that if we pray. Of course, there's many things to pray for regarding our own lives and regarding our friends and regarding the work here as well. And we trust that the Lord will help us all, even as we think here of blessed or, oh, the happiness. It's not a burden, but rather it brings happiness. It's because we mentioned at the start of this series that that's what the word blessed means. And happy and joyful, irrespective of circumstances. We can have that, of we are the pure in heart. So I trust that short analysis of the pure in heart will be helpful to you. We trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart.